This is Missing the Mouse. I'm Jeremy Pettigrew.
And I'm Brad Burleson.
And we are back from a month-long, unscheduled, and unexpected hiatus.
Now, here's the thing. To some extent, this hiatus is your fault because you totally blew me off to go to Florida.
I was in Disney World, and I'm not sorry about that.
So, tell us about all the awesome stuff that you saw in Florida.
The first thing we did, which was something new, is we ate at Casey's Corner on Main Street.
That seems like such a, I don't know, that just never has really attracted me because it's hot dogs, right?
But it's so good. It was really actually delicious hot dogs and those sweet quick service French fries.
Yes, the quick service French fries that are the same everywhere, but they're awesome, so that's okay.
Yeah. And they've got, you know, plastic cheese that you can pump into little tubs. And
wait, did you just say that they have the pump cheese?
Yes.
Okay, see, that makes it worth it to me because that's this sounds really sad, but that's one of the reasons why I go to Pecos or Cosmic Rays is because, well, and now they have the advantage of sauteed mushrooms and sauteed onions, but they also have pump cheese, which is totally awesome because why would I dump my fries in ketchup when I can dump my fries in cheese and try to kill myself? So you went, you had hot dogs, good hot dogs, you say.
So, yeah, and I noticed the first thing that was weird is, man, there's a lot of construction at the Magic Kingdom for what appears to be nothing. I poked my camera up over the construction wall and took a couple pictures of inside the construction area, and there's just nothing.
So construction wall somewhere outside Casey's, is that what you're saying?
Really, when you're eating at Casey's, the construction is blocking your view of the hub. And I thought, man, maybe they're putting topiaries or planting more stuff or something, but they're not. I mean, it doesn't look like they are. It just looks like they have destroyed everything. The little waterway, or maybe it was a pond or something, is gone. And it's just dirt now. And all I can think of is that they are making more FastPass Plus viewing space for Wishes. Because let me tell you, they are fully 100% bought into FastPass Plus at Walt Disney World.
The feeling that you got after visiting is everywhere, every time, FastPass Plus all day, every day.
Yes, and I think that they would take out, after being there for a week, looking back, I think that they would, it's easy to say, they would take out an area that was a pond and planters and grass to put in FastPass Plus viewing area.
You know, it's one of those things where I love the landscaping of Walt Disney World, but at the same time, as long as they don't just turn the entire hub into, you know, concrete, I guess, you know, just a big flat area, I would be okay with them taking out a part of it for a little bit more viewing area because the viewing areas are so hard. And honestly, what I would like is more, you know, even non-FastPass Plus, which I know is blasphemy to Disney at this point, but just viewing areas that are devoted to parades and fireworks so that if I want to sit and watch a parade, I can sit and watch a parade. And I can get there an hour and a half early if that's how I so choose because I want to get a good spot. But I don't have to block everybody else and frustrate everyone and then be frustrated by everyone who is still trying to go to other parts of the park.
And that's the weird thing is, so the FastPass Plus viewing for the parades and Wishes is in the middle of the hub, so you're not really blocking anybody at that point, but it's very small. That's a very small area relative to the amount of people who want to watch those. And so it actually doesn't really help congestion.
Now, I thought Crystal, when she came onto our show a couple months back, I thought she said something about FastPass Plus area being like the Rose Garden.
So, yeah, the middle of the hub is definitely FastPass Plus for at least for Festival of Fantasy. I was not in the park for Wishes any night because it was Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and I wasn't about to lay down $210 for the three of us to go.
Okay, so that makes a lot more sense for a parade to have that spot because that's a good spot to watch a parade from, actually. Mm-hmm. It's not a great spot for Wishes, depending on where you are there, because a lot of times, you know, there's trees and stuff in there that will actually block your view. Yeah. Well, but so is the Rose Garden. And the Rose Garden is even off-centered from the castle if you want to get technical, but whatever. So
that's true.
So they're going to, so they're maybe building more fast. They're building something.
They're building something, and it has to be Fastpass Plus.
Yeah, because what else are they going to put there?
Yeah, nothing. Especially if they have, because if you look at park maps, there's water there, and there's not water there now. And so they have removed landscaping features. So there's, the only thing they're doing is flattening it out, and the only thing I can think of is that they're going to pave it and make it Fastpass Plus. So the next thing we did was go take a ride on Jingle Cruise, and it was actually really enjoyable and funny. And I think what they've done this year is taken the feedback from last year that they didn't do enough and done physically no more, but adapted the jokes to call out the fact that they haven't done any more. And so they're actually being really self-deprecating about the fact that Jingle Cruise is putting Santa hats on some of the hippos and, you know, like, you know, putting Christmas sweaters on the natives and stuff. And they're very dry about the fact that, like, oh my gosh, the natives have Christmas sweaters on. Ooh. Like, and it may have just been my skipper who was doing that, but whatever. They have, it feels like they took the feedback from last year where people were like just pissed, and they've made it into something where it's like, yeah, it's a big joke.
Well, and I feel like we're somewhat beating a dead horse here, but as we've often said, you will make or break your Jungle Cruise, your Great Movie Ride, any of those sort of attractions based on the skipper that you get. So I think that can play a huge part into it as to whether or not they're going to stick with the script, or they're just sticking to the script, they're going to have fun. So I am glad you enjoyed it. I'm willing to give it another shot the next time I'm there for Christmas. But I felt like maybe it was just advertised to me, you know, because it seemed like, hey, we're going to do something for Christmas. And I did not expect what I got in the Jingle Cruise. But basically, the moral of the story is you actually enjoyed Jingle Cruise.
I did.
I hated it with the with the energy of a thousand suns. Maybe a little strong, but you know.
Now let me tell you about something that I didn't really care for. The Country Bear Jamboree. That is just a weird show, and I left that theater, my whole party, me, my wife, and my mom left that theater going, what on earth did we just see?
See, you're like blaspheming all over the place. You're telling me Jingle Cruise is bad, or good, and now you're going to tell me Country Bear Jamboree is bad. Country Bear Jamboree is bad, but Country...
It's weird.
But it's B-movie bad. B-movie bad, which is good.
It is. Yeah, okay. I can give you that it is B-movie bad, and it's like so bad that it's kind of hilarious.
And you're welcome not to enjoy it, but I find it funny, and it's a nice place to get some AC during the day.
Overall, I just kind of left that going, okay, that was a thing that we just did for 5 minutes.
Oh, come on, man. I here's the thing. I actually have the LP. Yes, we're talking about record, not CD, not MP3 download, the record from that show. So just so I can hear, there was blood on the saddle.
That's the one that we were like, we got to get out of here. We're about to get murdered.
That's right. But like I said, I find it hilarious, but that's okay. You didn't like it. Whatever. You're missing out on some Disney-ana, if you will. But
I'm not missing out. I have experienced it. The coolest part of it, though, is the exit for Country Bear Jamboree literally dumped us out into the Festival of Fantasy Parade.
Oh, well, that was convenient.
Didn't know what was going on, but yeah, we walked out and there was like a 2-person deep kind of line watching the Festival of Fantasy Parade. And so we just got in and we got to see pretty much the whole thing unobstructed. And that parade is amazing. I don't like parades. And we watched that parade twice. Like, we made sure we got to see it again. Because it is amazing. And that stupid song is stuck in my head.
I'm totally assuming that in post, this is going to now be under us at this point, so that everyone can get this little earworm stuck in their heads. But now, with this, and I don't know, because I don't know how many of the parades you've even done, since you don't like parades. How many of...
That's the first parade I've ever seen.
Okay, well, then you would have no clue, because I want to know how many of the floats they reused, because we know that, you know, like Maleficent is a new float, because, you know, total new design, everything.
Yeah.
But that was always like the thing is you watch a parade and you go, oh yeah, I remember that float was this two parades ago. That float was this one parade ago. And now it's this, and who knows what it'll be in the next parade. But, you know, they're not going to get rid of it. They're
sure.
just going to refurb it, reuse it, or ship it off to one of the other parks. Sort of a thing.
The only one that I got the feeling, and I'm sure way more of them are reused, but the only one I got the feeling that it was reused is the very last one is Mickey and Minnie in a hot air balloon. With like a little propeller on the back, and that one seemed like it could be in any parade.
That sounds reused to me, but darned if I can remember which parade that was. Okay.
You know, if you just put, you know, a different overlay on the outside and, you know, put music notes on it, that easily could have been the anchor for Soundstational. It could be in anything. And that one seemed not as themed, but everything else was like, the Brave one was really cool. The Rapunzel one, like, had these huge axes that Flynn Rider was, like, swinging on. I mean, it was enormous. And, these floats are just huge. They are very, very active. I mean, like, the whole float sometimes moves in a way that seems crazy. And Maleficent is gigantic, and the gears and stuff in her belly,
yeah,
that, you know, kind of the steampunkiness of it, are just crazy, and it looks really cool. And the handlers that come up alongside Maleficent are scary in a way that is like, you see this big happy parade with a bunch of princesses, and you know, you've got Anna and Elsa in the parade and stuff, and then you have this point in the parade where everything just kind of like gets dark for a second, and there's the music quiets down. And you've got Maleficent, and she's breathing fire and all this stuff. And, like, it just gets super dark during Maleficent's part. And there's a whole bunch of frightening kind of characters. And then Maleficent goes by, and the music comes back up, and it's happy again. And it was really interesting.
That's kind of cool how they're trying to create some uniqueness within the parade itself.
Yeah. That parade was awesome. And I got to see Disney parade, you know, cast members who are walking 6 feet behind the last float, picking up the ropes and the little stanchions and stuff, and opening the street back up. And that's kind of fun to be able to walk directly behind a parade all the way down Main Street to get out. But they know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. It has become more and more of an art over time, you know, and as long as you've got people who have worked it quite a few times, it's crazy how efficient they can get with that.
Yeah, they don't mess around. But so that was amazing. That parade was awesome.
So now you said Maleficent has handlers. That's something about, you know, I feel like we talked about this parade when it first got announced, and we just had some, you know, like a couple of pictures to go on. But the more that I've seen of that parade, the Maleficent float almost feels a little Animal Kingdom-y to me. Like the, I don't know, did you guys do the Jammin' Jungle Parade?
Yes, I have seen that.
Okay, so that float feels a little bit like that, in that it has people in the float that are kind of making it workish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very much a Jammin' Jungle Parade type thing to me. You know?
Yeah. So there is a guy inside Maleficent who's making it work, but there's also a guy with a pole attached to the tip of the tail who is actually running back and forth, making her tail move.
Yeah. So like I said, all of that though sounds very, it's interesting to me because that was a very different thing. Well, I don't know. I think maybe Tapestry had something like that, but anyway, it was very different from the Magic Kingdom feel. When you saw the Jammin' Jungle Parade, and now it seems like they're kind of meshing that when they made Festival of Fantasy, which I think that's a good thing, because I think that the Jammin' Jungle Parade is actually a very good parade. in that it's a little bit different. So I don't mind them using that at all, but it was just kind of interesting to me that they threw that out there.
So the parade went by after we got dumped out of Country Bear, and we went straight over to Fantasyland after that because there was one thing that you told me I had to do, and it was one of your fast passes when we were talking about the Magic Kingdom, Peter Pan's Flight. And it was amazing. But what's a bummer is, so that was Sunday. The following Sunday, they reopened the queue. Like, there was construction walls. Most of the queue was outside while we were there. It was an hour-long wait. And the next Sunday, they opened the queue up, and it's this like beautiful indoor queue with pictures of the darling children. And it was beautiful. And I've only seen pictures, but that attraction is the coolest dark ride I think I've ever been on. And it was me, Claire, and my mom. We all sat together in one ship. And the cast member who was making sure the lap bar was down and everything, he was totally bought into using the language, like, get ready to go to Neverland. And it was really fun. But that is such a cool dark ride.
Yeah, and it's so, because it is, it's an older dark ride, and it's kind of on the outskirts of Fantasyland. I mean, it usually has a good wait, but I feel like it's usually because parents are like, okay, this is something I can take my small children to, more than people going, oh, this looks like it would be a cool ride to go and ride.
Well, and what's crazy is, so from load in, it looks like a regular dark ride where you're on a track. And pretty quickly after you get in the ship, the track below you disappears and you realize, oh, you're suspended. And you're in a flying, spoiler alert, you're in a flying pirate ship, and you're going over London and pretty much, you know, in standard dark ride fashion, going through the story of Peter Pan. But it's so different because you're floating, and because the miniature London underneath you is done so well. I mean, you can see the cars driving around in the streets of London. That's the you know, completely Disney, completely, you know, that's them. That's Imagineering. But you can see the cars, you know, everything worked flawlessly. Everyone moved. I did not witness any broken animatronics while we were there.
Wow, that's impressive.
Everything was working flawlessly. But Peter Pan was just really cool. I was really, really into that. That was Sunday, pretty much. And we ate dinner Sunday night at California Grill.
Which means you ate dinner at an awesome place.
Oh my gosh, Brad. One of the best meals I've ever had in my entire life. Like, and I cannot foresee that changing. That place was so good. The experience of that place starts when you go to the table. Like, they have a little check-in table. And they check you into your reservation. They give you a buzzer. And then they say, and Kelly will be coming down to pick you up in the elevator. And you're on the second floor of the Contemporary. And this woman comes down in an elevator and gets us and takes us up to the 15th floor. Like, personally. You know?
Yeah, and it's talking to you, hey, how's your trip? And all this kind of stuff while you're in the elevator.
Yeah. And so we got up there. They told us to have a seat by the window, the whole thing's windows. It's amazing.
So you guys actually did get window side seating?
Yes.
Oh, awesome, dude. Usually we get stuck like in the middle. So
we were sitting by the window, you know, because we got there like 30 minutes before our reservation. And we were sitting there looking at the drinks menu, and the guy came to get our order, and our buzzer went off, and we were like, dang it. And so we went to the thing, and the girl with the menus, you know, came and got us and took us to our table. And our table was literally two tables away from the little, like, drinks table we'd been sitting at. And it was on the window, perfectly looking at Cinderella's castle. Like, could not have gotten better seating at that place. The food was amazing. Our server was great.
I feel like those restaurants just tend to take it to a whole other level. And a fun little thing, you can actually just stay in that seating. You don't have to move. The time before last when we went in with and just sat in the bar area. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, where it's not, you know, where they take you up while you're waiting for your seating. And we just asked if we could just stay there. And we just, you know, ordered little appetizers and stuff with our drinks. And we totally just had the whole time right there.
Mm.
Because, yeah, it's like sometimes you're not going to get great seating and you can get in a little bar area and get something right next to the window. So why not stay there? But, yeah, you guys just really lucked out then and ended up next to the window the whole time. Mm-hmm. So did you guys see wishes or holiday wishes, I guess?
We did.
From there?
We did. And the music, you know, gets piped in and they delay it in a way that it still syncs up with all the fireworks the whole time. I mean, and you can see the cool thing about Holiday Wishes is they do perimeter fireworks all around the Magic Kingdom. And so I feel like you get a way better view of the perimeter fireworks from California Grill because you're not having to look all around you.
Oh, yeah.
Because from the observation deck at the California Grill, you can see from Space Mountain on, you know, and so you get the extreme, I guess, west end of the park all the way. So you can see the perimeter fireworks from everywhere. And it was amazing. It was so cool to have the music and to just experience that in a way that not a lot of people get to. I don't think a lot of people know about that even. And I think that it's something that it's something I'll never forget. And it was not crowded at all on the observation decks.
I'm just going to say, I think you just picked a really, really good time to go because I have seen those observation decks get crazy before. So I think you picked a really opportune time. But yeah, I think that even when people know about it, there's just something about them that says, I'm not going to spend two dining credits or a what would be an absurd amount of money to go and eat at California Grill because I could get so much more for my money. But yeah, when you recognize the quality of the food that you're getting is really good. The service level just seems to be a step above even for Disney. And then if you schedule your time right, you're also going to get a, you know, an opportunity to see fireworks and stuff. That can still be a great deal if that, you know, if you want to have that sort of experience.
And if you have a receipt from that day, like if you go eat lunch there, you can go back. You can show them the receipt downstairs and they'll let you back up onto the observation deck so you can watch Wishes. And I'm not going to say this for a lot of places, maybe not any other place, but I don't know that you can get more for your money than at California Grill. I think that is a place that, you know, it's expensive, but it's not even Le Cellier expensive. You know, like that place, I would say as fine dining of a place as it is, it's a pretty good value for a restaurant. And, you know, it's inflated because it's on Disney property, but overall it's a pretty good value for what it is, you know. And we had a free dining plan, so yeah, it was a good value. You know, we had drinks and an appetizer and everything, and I think we got out of there for $50 cash, you know. But something about that place just really is really different, and it's a really good experience. And I don't know, it's a really nice place. I'm rambling at this point, but it's because I was in love. We were all in love with California Grill.
So you loved Le Cellier, and I'm not saying that you don't still love Le Cellier.
Yes.
But now you have a new love as well, and,
yes,
and that love is California Grill.
Yes, that is somewhere where I will be dining every time.